I want to thank everybody for coming to Rabbi's annual Haggadah Insights once again. Thursday night, we have a Parsha Shir every Thursday night at 8:30. Obviously, tonight it's on the Haggadah. Without further ado, Rabbi Adler.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Rabotai. What I would like to do tonight is use two sources as the springboards of tonight's shiur. One is the Rambam source for the mitzvah of Sipitzius Mitzrayim, and this I know that I've used before, the Rav's explanation. Then I want to use two others which he did not add, I want to add, which will give us different dimensions of say the night. Then the second thing that I want to do is offer what I believe is a fairly novel interpretation of the opening paragraph of Holach Ma'anya, and it's based something on that I said yesterday at the Chumash Shir, but I want to apply it specifically to Holach Ma'anya and that the opening paragraph of the Haggadah. So if you have the sheets in front of you, you have Shmot Perek, this is Perek Yud Gimel, and the overwhelming majority of Rishonim select verse 8, Pasuk Chet, as the origin of the mitzvah of Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'higadeto levincha bayom ahu leimor, ba'avur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. V'higadeto levincha, you are to tell your children. That is the source which the overwhelming majority of Rishonim cite to define the obligation of Pesach at night. You tell your children. There are variation forms in Parshat Vo'et Chanan. V'haya ki yish alcha bincha machar leimor mazot. Your child will ask you, what's going on? V'amar te'elov, and you will respond to him, b'chozik yad ha'tziyanu Hashem mi'mitzrayim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out with some degree of might. Fine. Those are the sources which almost every Rishon uses as the biblical source. The only one who disagrees is the Rambam. The Rambam, instead of citing verse 8 as the biblical obligation for Yetzias Mitzrayim, cites Pasuk Gimel in chapter 13 of Sefer Shemot. And the Pasuk states, Vayomer Moshe el Ha'am, Zachor et Hayom Hazeh, Asher Yitzasa mi Mitzrayim mi Beit Abadim, Ki Bechozek Yad Hotzi Hashem etchem Mizeh, Velo Yeyachel Chametz. That's the Pasuk that the Rambam cites as the obligation to engage in the mitzvah Sipitzius Mitzrayim. So the Rambam is quoted in Halacha Bet. So we will read the Rambam together, and we will obviously all ask the same question that everybody should ask. Two questions you should ask. After we read the text, I'll go to sleep, and you'll ask the question. Says the Rambam, this is Perek Zayin of Hilchas Chametz Umatzah, Halacha Aleph. Mitzvat Asei Shel Torah, L'saper b'nisim v'niflaot sh'na'asu l'avoteinu b'mitzrayim b'leil chamisha asar b'nisan. There is a biblical commandment to describe the miracles and wonders that God performed for our forefathers in Mitzrayim on the night of the 15th of Nisan, sh'ne'emar, zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzasim b'mitzrayim. Now, anybody in the third grade should be able to understand that particular pasuk. Zachor et hayom hazeh asher yitzasim eretz Mitzrayim. But the Rambam doesn't trust us that we will understand it appropriately, and hence he has an analogy. Kimo shene emar zachor et yom haShabbat. just as it is written in relationship to the Sabbath in Shmot chapter 20, Zochoras Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshei. And the two questions obviously are, number one, why didn't the Rambam agree that Vehigadeta Levincha is an adequate source for the mitzvah of Sipat Yis Mitzrayim? And two, why does he need this analogy of Kimo Shine Emar Zachorat Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho? The only thing that the Rambam uses Vehigadeta Levincha is to teach us when we're supposed to fulfill, as he writes two lines later, "Uminayin shebelel chamisha asar." How do I know that it's the night of the 15th? Talmud loymer veigadeta levincha bayom hahu, on that special day. When is that special day? When we left Mitzrayim. So the source is zacharet hayom hazeh. So the question is, why wasn't the Rambam happy with Rashi and the Rashbam and the Rosh and Tosfos who claim that the source of the mitzvah is Vehigadeta Levincha? Why does he need Zachorat Hayom Hazeh? And number two, what does he need the analogy for of Zachorat Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho? So this question I've asked many times when we had this type of shir, and I shared with you the Rav's answer. And I'm going to remind you, because shikcha is a mitzvah which almost everybody is mekayim on a regular basis. The mitzvah of shikcha, that we forget. So I'll remind you what the Rav said. The Rav said was that the Rambam is trying to define the mitzvah of Sipat Yis Mitzrayim as he defines the mitzvah of Zachorat Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. What does the word how do you use the word in Hebrew to tell us to remember something? How does Tanakh and our tefillot, liturgy, describe the word remember? Zecher. Zecher? No, that's not a verb. To remember. What is it? Zechor. Avinu Malkeinu. Zechor ki afar anachnu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of the length of Avinu Malkeinu. Towards the ends of Musaf, in the middle of the bracha of Chol HaChaim, Avinu Malkeinu, Zichor Rachamecha, Uchvosh Ka'ascha, V'chalei Devev, V'cherev. Zichor is the way you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember something. Zachor does not mean to remember. Rashi and Ibn Ezra on the word Zachor say, the word Zachor means Zichirat Tamid. Not just a one-time remembrance, like when we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, please remember us that we are nothing but dirt, Zichor ki afar anachnu, or Zechor Rachamecha Uchvosh Kascha, and conquer your anger and give us a favorable judgment. But it means Zichirat Tamid. So how does Zichirat Tamid apply when you're dealing with Zachorat Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho? How does it express itself in Halacha? Two ways. One, Shammai the Shaper. That's number one. The Gemara tells us in Beitz on Daf Tesvav that when Shammai, he liked to go shopping every single day. It's one of the questions I'm going to ask Shammai. Shopping every day? That's you're nothing better to do? Go shopping? But Shammai went shopping every day. So when he went to the meat market, he found a piece of meat on Sunday, put it away for Shabbos. He went shopping again on Monday, and he found a better roast on Monday than he had on Sunday. So Sunday's roast he ate on Monday, and this one is now saved for Shabbos. Why? Zichirat Tamid. Every day of the week, you remember Shabbos. And then, for us non-shoppers, or anti-shoppers, how do we remember the Shabbos every single day? In the Shir Shal Yom. There are no days of the week in the Hebrew calendar. Every day of the week is identified in your shtarot, in your ketubah, in every shtar as what? Sheni b'Shabbos, Shlishi b'Shabbos, Chamishi b'Shabbos. So through a remembrance of identifying the day of the week in context of Shabbos, we feel Zechirat Tamid. One night a week, Zachorat Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, has a formal declaration. One night a week, Friday night, when you make Kiddush. So the way the Rambam had already defined in Hilchos Shabbos how to fulfill the mitzvah of Zachorat Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, that's what the Rambam is now saying about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. I want you to define it the exact same way. Zechirat Tamid. How will you and I fulfill remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim tonight? How will we do it? By saying the Shema. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeisi Yischem Eretz Mitzrayim. That's a broad, general, sweeping remembrance. Once a year, there is a lengthy, elaborate description of Yetzias Mitzrayim. When is that? The night of the 15th. So the Rambam chooses Zachorat Hayom Hazeh because he's got a model how to define it. How does he define the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Just as he defines the mitzvah of Zechirat Shabbat. That is why, claims the Rav, and his grandfather disagreed, Rav Chaim had a completely different explanation, that's why the Rambam omitted the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim as one of the 613 mitzvot. You can go through Sefer HaMitzvot where the Rambam elaborates on what exactly are the Taryag Mitzvot. There is no such mitzvah as remembering the exodus of the drama of every day of the year. And every Rishon attacks him. Rambam, how could you omit a pasuk? It says in Parshat Re'eh, Dvarim 16, Leman Tizkor et Yom Tzeitcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. And Kol Yimei Chayecha is subject to a machloikis between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. And we paskin like Ben Zoyma, who said that what does it mean? Yimei Chayecha Hayomim, Kol Yimei Chayecha Halelot. We say it in the Haggadah, I'll show it to you. So how did the Rambam omit it? Answer. He believes that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is already included in the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because how is the mitzvah of Sipur defined? Zachor, Zechirat Tamid. Therefore I don't have to occupy another one of the 613 with the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetzias Mitzrayim because it is already included in the mitzvah of Pesach at night. Kacha Amar Morenu many years ago. I want to borrow two other ideas that the Rav once developed. He did not put it in the context of what I'm going to say tonight, but I want to claim that there is another two connections between Shabbat and the experience of Pesach at night. Pesach at night. First thing I want you to take a look at is Source Gimel. Source Gimel is a famous machloikis between Rav and Shmuel found in Tractate Psachim Kuf Amud Bet. And the Gemara begins with the following situation. Otam b'nei Adam shikidshu b'beit HaKnesset. Okay? We're all Chazanim fans. We all are. And we know that the most famous Kiddush Friday night was composed by Kapov Kagan, who was the cantor in Bethel before Kosovetsky, before Moshe Kosovetsky. So Kapov Kagan has a very famous Kiddush which every other Chazan imitates. It takes about 10-15 minutes. And that's why in Reno we don't say Kiddush, because I would be doing Kapov Kagan's Kiddush. So the Gemara says that if you hear Kiddush in Shul, Otam b'nei Adam shekidshu b'beit HaKnesset, Omar Rav, Yidei Yayin Lo Yatzu, Yidei Kiddush Yatzu. So when Kap of Kagan makes Kiddush and Shul Friday night, you do not have to make Kiddush again at home when you eat your meal. Assuming that everybody was there. If not, if someone was not there, you'd have to make Kiddush just to discharge their obligation. But assume you came as a family to hear Kap of Kagan Dav. The only thing that you would not be Yotzei is the Bracha Barik Piyagafen. Because you're changing your location. You heard the Barik Piyagafen here in Shul. And now when you change your location, you want to drink wine at home with white wine with the fish and red wine with the meat. You know the whole protocol. And as a result, says Rav, you have to make another Barik Piyagafen. But Kiddush you are Yotzei. Ushmuel Omar, and Shmuel says, Af Yidei Kiddush Lo Yotzei. Not only don't you fulfill the obligation of Barik Piyagafen, what else do you have to do? You have to make Kiddush at home. The kernel of the debate is, as the Gemara will explain, is there a requirement of Kiddush Bimakom Seuda? Must you make Kiddush in the location where you're going to eat? Rav claims there ain't no such halacha. You can make Kiddush in one house, eat absolutely nothing there, go to a second home and eat your meal, and you're mekayim the mitzvah of Sudat Shabbat, and you're mekayim the mitzvah of making Kiddush. That's Rav's opinion. Yeah. So, according to Rav, what was the function of Kap of Kagan making Kiddush and Shul? To be motzi everybody with the mitzvah of Kiddush. That's why they made it in Shul. Maybe you didn't have wine. Maybe you didn't want to waste your money on the wine. But when you hear the Kiddush and Shul, everybody's Yotzei. Shmuel says, nobody is Yotzei with the Kiddush that you recite in Shul. So the question is, why did Kap of Kagan make Kiddush? Said the Gemara, because there were guests who used to sleep and eat and shul. For the guests. That was the practice. The people used to eat and sleep and shul. So instead of providing wine for all of the guests, Kap of Kagan made Kiddush for everybody, and only those people who ate in shul were Yotzei the Kiddush. Because he was of the opinion, Kiddush b'makom se'uda. Now, whenever there's a machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, Rabotai, what is the halacha? What? Correct, it depends. For Isur and Heter, for that which you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, that which you have to do, don't have to do, the halacha is always like Rav. Always like Rav. When it comes to dinei mamonot, monetary issues, the halacha is like Shmuel. So if I were to ask you a simple question, who should the halacha be like in our Gemara? Halacha should be like Rav, that there's no requirement of Kiddush b'makom seuda. We're not dealing with dinei mamonot here. So the Gemara explains, all Rishonim explain, that the overwhelming majority of Amoraic sages happened to side with Shmuel. Even Rav Huna, who was Rav's student, agreed with Shmuel and said you need Kiddush b'makom seuda. And that's the way we paskin. You need Kiddush b'makom seuda. As to what constitutes a seuda is a three-way machloikis. I'm just going to give you the bottom line halacha. What constitutes a seuda for Kiddush b'makom seuda? Grain component. You don't have to wash. You can't just eat fruit. Can't just eat cholent. You have to have a grain component. A piece of cake. So if you make Kiddush downstairs, or you listen to the rabbi's Kiddush, and you have a piece of cake, technically you are Yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush, and you come home, in theory, you can start lunch without making Kiddush again. That's the halacha. We pass them like Shmuel. So now I want to ask you, Rabotai, what is the idea of Kiddush B'Makom Suta. Why does Shmuel insist that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, there must be a Suda accompanying it? Why? What's the logic behind it? So the Rav spent a whole Yahrzeit share in 1972 on the idea of Kiddush, and specifically Kiddush B'Makom Suda. And he said as follows. If I were to ask you, why is it that before you have an apple, you say a Bayer Prieretz? Why do you say a Bayer Prieretz? Why? To acknowledge what? To acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the owner of that apple. And only by reciting a bracha does he grant me permission to eat his apple. That's what the Gemara in Ketzav Mevarchin says. Lashem ha'aretz umloya. Everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet, ha'aretz nasan l'bnei Adam. Answers the Gemara. Kan lifnei bracha, kan la'achar bracha. Before you make a bracha, everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you eat something without a bracha, you're a thief. It's gezel, literally gezel. After you make a bracha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you to eat it. That's on a Sunday or a Tuesday. On Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns that apple for two different reasons. The first reason is, now look at the source sheet again, source Dalet. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu own that apple? Because El Adon, I'll call him Ma'asim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Lord and Master over everything. Why? Because He created it. By virtue of creation, you gain ownership. You own that item. But on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns that apple for a different reason. You know why He owns that apple? Because He rested on the seventh day. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in Shvita, Kivo Shavat Mikol Melachto Asher Bara Elohim La'asot, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Bara Elohim is acquired on the Shabbos for a different dimension. Not because He created it, because He didn't create it on Shabbos. Because He chose to engage in cessation from productive activity. The rest, Shvita, grants HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kinyan. Because He could have kept working, but He chose not to. So by virtue of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the next paragraph after we sing Kel Adon. Lo'el asher shavat mikol hama'asim bayom ha'shvi'i. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to what? To be shovet. What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu now gains ownership of that particular meal, of that particular food. That is the logic behind Kiddush B'Makom Suda. And in fact, I'll tell you halacha. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and the Rav was terribly makpid on this. When you set your table on Friday night, you should have all the dishes on the table. You should have the challah on the table covered for a different reason. We're not talking about that today. But there should be no food on the table whatsoever. None whatsoever. Not the gefilte fish, not the chopped liver, not the sweetbreads. That would be a good entree. But nothing should be on the table. Why? Because the purpose of the Shabbat meal is to demonstrate that this meal is being eaten not only because I'm hungry, it's because tonight is Shabbos. And on Shabbos I demonstrate everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by virtue of the fact that tonight is Shabbos. In fact, the Rav told a funny story. The RCA, he was the titular president of the RCA. Every year they had a Shabbat convention in the Pine View Hotel. And they used to badger him to come, not stay over to Boston, come to the convention. He always spoke at the convention, always Thursday night. The highlight of the convention was the Rav's drasha. But he never came. One year, Rabbi Schoenfeld badgered him, and he came. He walks into the dining room in the Pine View Hotel, and the table's set like in most hotels. The entrees on the table, the gefilte, the other choices, the sodas all over the place. And then he said, "This is the last time I'm coming to a Pine View Hotel convention because they're Amaratzim. They don't know that you're not supposed to have any food on the table to make that demonstration. So kiddush b'makom su'uda is done for two reasons: to acknowledge that God owns something because He created it. That's why I say borei pri hagafen, and He owns it because He chose to be mekadesh haShabbos. And in fact, this was the basis, and most Rishonim disagree with what I'm going to tell you, of the Rav's uncle's opinion. I'm going to ask you to test case. You came into shul from downstairs, right? The rabbi was making kiddush. On Shabbos morning, that doesn't work well. It's a Friday night. It's a cup of kagan is making kiddush. And you missed the borei pri hagafen. But you heard the whole Hashem, from Hashem Kedushanu b'mitzvotav v'ratzavanu until Mekadesh HaShabbos. Are you yotze the mitzvah of Kiddush or not? Yes or no, and of course, and why? So the Stam Pashtus is that the Brach of Borei Pri HaGafen, its role is just a Birchas Hananin. What do I mean, just a Birchas Hananin? You're planning on drinking wine. So if you're drinking wine, you've got to make a Borei Pri HaGafen. But it's not part of the Kiddush. What's the Kiddush? The Brach of Kiddush, Asher Kiddushanu, until the end. The Briska Rav said, if you don't hear the Borei Pri HaGafen, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah of Kiddush. You've got to say the whole thing again. Why? And the Rav explained it. That's the idea of Kiddush B'makom Suda. Kiddush b'makom suda means I have to demonstrate both aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's acquisition of this world. Because He is creator, and because He ceased to engage in creation. He ceased to engage in creation on Friday night and on Shabbos. I want to take this idea to Pesach at night. The Kiddush says something. Pesach at night has a very similar feature. Please turn now for 1 second to it's the third page, it's source Yud Aleph. I saved one tree by not printing the last three words of the previous page, because everybody knows the author of this Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim, source Yud Aleph. It's Rav Gamliel. Rav Gamliel Hayomer Kol Shleomar Shloisha Dvarim Eilu BePesach. So there's one tree that owes me its life. So we're starting with the Mishnah Shloisha Dvarim BePesach Lo Yotzei Dechevasa. The Eluhein Pesach Matzah Mara. Okay, Rabotai, you are the Rashbam. You define to me what obligation have you not fulfilled unless you did not say Ramga, if you did not say this paragraph. What obligation is Lo Yatzai Dechobatov? What obligation have you not fulfilled? That's the simple Pashtus. The mitzvah of Sipo Yitzias Mitzrayim. There's a minimum and a maximum. The maximum is to say the whole Haggadah. What's the bare minimum, says Ram Gamliel? You got to say these three paragraphs. Pesach Matzumar. However, the Ramban, not in Pesachim, but in a little line in the Milchamas, in Maseches Brachos on Daf Beis Amud Bet, I'm sorry I did not blow it up. I didn't have time to blow it up. But it's on the bottom of the page. It says Milchamas Hashem. If you want to check it, it's Daf Bet Amud Bet Bedapei Harif. Daf Bet Amud Bet Bedapei Rif. Don't forget, the Rif starts with Daf Aleph, not like the Talmud, which starts with Daf Bet. So this is Daf Bet Amud Bet Bedapei Harif. Says, so he's talking about Kriya Shema. That's the first topic in Brachos. And if you don't say this part of Kriya Shema, you yotzei the mitzvah, not yotzei the mitzvah. So the Ramban decided to bring in an analogy. Kayotzei ba. I will read it on behalf of those people who can't read with glasses. Kol shelo omar gimel dvarim elu bepesach lo yatsa yedei chovato. He's just quoting the Mishnah. Now comes the Ramban. Velo shiyehet sarich lachzor v'le'echol pesach matzah umara. It doesn't mean that if you didn't say this, you have to eat matzah maror again. So I ask you, before you start saying again, how did the Ramban understand the Mishnah of Lo Yatsa Yedei Chovato? What Chova is the Ramban talking about? What Chova is the Ramban talking about? The mitzvah of eating Pesach Matzah Marah. That unless you explain their significance before you eat it, you're not Yotzei the mitzvah. Now the Ramban says, I don't mean that you're not Yotzei B'diyeved. You're not Yotzei L'chatchila. But B'diyeved, if you ate Pesach Matzah Maror without explaining their significance by reading these three paragraphs, you Yotzei the mitzvah, B'diyeved, but not L'chatchila. So the Ramban says, before you eat anything, I have to explain it. Why does the Ramban say that? And I'm going to tell you, his opinion is going to answer a question which no Rishon was able to answer. Except they have Terutzim Dechukim. Terutzim Dechukim. There are questions that children are supposed to ask. There is no expectation in the Mishnah that they learned these questions in Gan Rina. That's not the expectation in the Mishnah. What is the expectation about the questions in the Mishnah? How are they supposed to be asked? From experience. From experience. So the Meiri and the Balei HaTosfos ask the following question. You know how the Seder should have been conducted? You make Kiddush, then you eat a shtickel karpas, then you wash, and you make hamotzi, and eat a little matzah, and lean while you're leaning when you're drinking your cup of wine, lean when you eat the matzah, then you make alachilas moror, and if there is a korban pesach, you eat a kizayis of the Korban Pesach. Why should the Seder have been conducted that way? So when the little pisher sees what's going on, he can ask the question. Hey mom, hey pop, how come we're not starting off with the gefilte fish tonight? What's this karpas? And we're dipping it into something? What, are you guys crazy? What happened to the dug, your flocht and the chalas? The flocht and braided. What happened to the dug, your flocht and the chalas that we eat every Friday night? We're eating these little crackers, this bread? And then he sees you taking a bitter herb and dipping it into charoses. What do we need mara for? And why do we do any dipping? And why are we eating only roasted meat tonight? Because the Rambam has five questions, not four. Shebechol halelos anu ochlin, mevushal, shalom, v'tzolun. Regular cook, overcook, and roasted meat. Halayla hazeh, kulot sleeve. How come, Ma, we're not having boiled chicken? Like my mother used to feed me Erev Yom Kippur, trying to convince me that it's, like I told all the people, that's the best thing to fast, boiled chicken. Roasted meat tonight? Now the kid's in a position to ask some questions. In our Seder, there's not one way that the kid can ask any intelligent question. Yes, he's seen karpas, but that's the only dip. Hasn't seen shtei pamim, halai lazeh, matbilin shtei pamim. He hasn't seen any matzah yet. Hasn't seen any korban pesach yet. And even mesubin is the replacement for what? For korban pesach. Not just that you lean. Mesubin really means a chabura, because the korban pesach cannot be eaten alone. So how's he supposed to ask any questions? So the Meiri and Tosis have to hem and haw, why don't we do it this way? And the answer is because of the power of the Ramban. The Ramban said, you can't eat anything until you do what? Explain it first. So our whole Seder is based on the Ramban. We're going to go through the whole Haggadah until we get to a piece of matzah, mar, and korban pesach, because he interpreted the word lo yatsa yidei chovato is you're not yotzei the mitzvah of achilas pesach, achilas matzah, and achilas morah. So there is a little parallelism between Zochoras Yom HaShabbos Lekadshoi and Zochoras HaYom HaZeh. What is the parallelism? On Friday night, it is the act of Kiddush that gives us a glimpse into what the essence of Shabbos is all about. The recognition that God owns this world from two vantage points. Creation and Lo'el Asher Shabbos Mikol HaMa'asim. And on Pesach at night, what serves as the trigger for telling the entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim? The food. The Pesach, the Matzah, and the Maror. Therefore, answer number two, that's why the Rambam says, you know what the source of Yetzias Mitzrayim is? Not Vigarta Levincha. Zochorat Yom HaZeh, because it is the meal that will ultimately give you insight as to what is happening tonight. I'll quickly give you a third interpretation. I can't elaborate on it, but I give you a third interpretation. If I were to ask you, what text would you select in order to recall the episode of Yetzias Mitzrayim, what would be the text that you would select? What? Sefer Shmot. I would open up a Chumash and read Shmot va'erebo hefer b'shala, close up the Siddur, the Chumash, and go to sleep. The Karaite tradition was exactly that. That's what they used to do for their Seder. They didn't need what do you need Haggadah for? In the time of Natrunai Gon, followed by Rav Amram Gon, paralleling the Karaite community, anybody who read Sefer Shmot Pesach at night was put into Cheirin. Put into Cheirin. Because you're acting like a Karaite. what did Chazal want us to do Pesach at night? That he wanted us to study and draw inferences from what we study. If you look at it, there are four children quoted in the Mechilta, yet our Haggadah abandons three of them. The Baal Haggadah, whoever he is, made a decision that I'm framing the Haggadah only for the Chacham. 99% of the Haggadah is one thing, Mishneh or Braita. That's all it is, Mishneh and Braita. That's all it is, Mishneh and Braita. Why? Because I want to compare it to Shabbos. By Shabbos, what did we do? I told you in 1972, the Rav spent a whole year, a whole yard session, 3.5 hours, trying to explain the significance of the Kiddush. The Rambam uses the following phrase in his introduction to Kiddush. You're supposed to say, Divrei Shevach V'Kiddush. And the Rav spent 2 hours trying to explain, what exactly does that mean, Shevach V'Kiddush? So every Shabbos, when you make Kiddush, it's not just the reading of the text. There are ideas that are supposed to be extracted from the basic text of the recitation of the Kiddush. Same thing is true Pesach at night. You read a Mishneh, and like every Mishneh, there's a Machloikis. And you're going to ask yourself, what's the basis of the Machloikis? And you're going to talk about it. And then we're going to be Doresh Parashas Arami Yeravi, which is the Medrash Rabbah on those four psukim in Parashas Kisavo. And I'm going to ask myself the question, what do those four psukim of the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim have to do with Pesach at night? Those four psukim are recited when you're in Israel and you bring your first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash. You say these four psukim. These now become the basis of the Haggadah? So a third answer in terms of the comparison of Shabbat, because Shabbat demands that there is a broad scheme called Divrei Shevach V'Kiddush, and you have to analyze it, so too every word in the Haggadah that has to be analyzed. Topic number two, I want to move to something else. The Haggadah begins with the paragraph of Holach Ma'anya. So please open up to, for a second, page where it says on the top, Source Yud, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, the Rambam decided to put his text of the Haggadah. There are many similarities and some striking differences. The Rambam apparently didn't like Dayenu, the song or the melody, so he just threw the whole thing out. Doesn't have Dayenu in his Haggadah. There are lots of things which he doesn't have. But basically he does. And the Rambam tells us, the way our Haggadah begins, Kol dichvin yese v'yechol, kol ditzrich lefaseach yese v'yifsach, Shata Hacha Lushana Hababar the Yisrael, and so on and so forth. So everybody knows the questions. Abarbanel elaborated upon them. Everybody knows the questions. Now you're sitting down at the Seder. Now's the time to start inviting people. Now? When should you make this announcement? In Shul. After Maariv. Or maybe today, tomorrow, this Shabbos. Anybody who's on the place, please join. And the phrase, Yesei v'yifsach, kol disrach, you can't just invite somebody to join your Korban Pesach. A Pesach has to be eaten, we say it, if you say Korbanos, ein ha-Pesach ne'achal ela liminuyav. You have to be designated at the time of the Shechita to eat this Korban Pesach. So So why does the Haggadah start with this? This is an Aramaic entry entered into the time of Rav Haigon at the end of the Amoraic period. It was never part of the Mishnah. Secondly, what's the connection between please invite people to eat and the fact that next year we're going to be redeemed? Hashata hacha, shana abba ba'aradiso. What's the connection? So I want to suggest the following idea. I mentioned part of this yesterday at the Chumashir. I think it's revolutionary, but I think it'll fit in beautifully. Beautifully. So please go now to page number 2 to sources Hey Vav Zion Ches and Tess. Hey Vav Zion Ches and Tess. This is the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha. And I'm going to focus on an individual who gets very little ink space in the Torah. His name is Lot. Very little ink space. So in verse 4, Perek Dalet, the Torah tells us, Vayelech Avram Kasher Diber Elov Hashem, Vayelech Ito Lot. Ladies and gentlemen, can anybody tell me why Lot decided to accompany Avram on his journey from Haran? And if you were here at the share yesterday, you can't answer the question. Why? What? He was a Yosom. Why? Haran died. The guy had no place to, had no family. Very simple. What's the reason why Avram leaves Haran and travels El Ha'aretz Asher Arecha? What's the reason? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks you to do something, if you're convinced it's Him, you do it. You do it. If you're convinced it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Avram was prepared to offer Yitzchak as a korban. Because he was convinced it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to him. Now, the Torah reports to us one single piece of information in the course of Lot's life. That's in verse 5. It says, after the Torah tells us that Avram became a wealthy man as a result of the episode with Sarai and Paro, V'gam lilot ha'holech et Avram hayatzon u'bakar va'ohalim. Well, Lot became a wealthy man, and suddenly the shepherds of Avram and Lot began to quarrel. There wasn't enough grazing space. And Avram makes the statement, let's not fight, let's separate, there's plenty of place. So the Torah tells us in verse 11, Vayivchar lo Lot et kol kikar hayardein. Lot selected the entire plains of the Jordan. Vayisa Lot mikedem, vayipardu ish me'alachiv. Lot traveled. Translate the phrase. Vayisa Lot mikedem. What does that mean? He traveled eastbound, and Avram was going to be to his west. That's the simple pshat. However, Rashi Kedarkei Bakodesh, after explaining the simple pshat, offers a medrash which is as far away from this pshat as it possibly can be. Look at Rashi. It is in source Zion. I underlined the Midrash Agadah. Tell me what Rashi says. How does Rashi interpret the word Mikedem? How does Rashi interpret the word Mikedem? What? No. Mikadmono shel olam. Who's kadmon l'chol davar? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He abandoned HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely. That's what it means. Vayisalot mikedem. Completely disinterested in the message of Avram. Completely. Up until now he needed Avram. Why? He was a poor orphan. He had nothing to eat. Oh, but Lot becomes a rich man. And the greatest test that members of Am Yisrael have faced throughout the generation is economic success. V'stafich the Rabbein Shalayla. Koichi v'oitzim yodi osali yisachayel azeh. And I mentioned this yesterday, I'll say it again. We read this book in school called Outliers, in which this Groysa author says that there is a magic number that a person has to invest in order to become successful in any area. 10,000 hours. 10,000 hours! Maybe. You put in 10,000 hours? 10,000? Or more? You don't remember. Okay. 10,000 hours! And he talks about Gretzky. Gretzky. The great Gretzky. Who is so far ahead of number two that it doesn't come close to any other sport. The number two. He has 1,000 more points scored than the number two player in NHL history. There's no other sport where that gap exists. So he must have practiced 12,000 hours, not 10,000. But when you practice 10,000 hours and you succeed, what do you start saying? Koichi. I put in the time. I was blessed with talent and I took advantage of it. Because there's so many people who have talent, but they're lazy good for nothings and they don't want to put in the 10,000 hours that are necessary. So Lot said, it's me. I'm a great shepherd. I know how to get cattle to grow. And he leaves, and he moves to what neighboring what town? Stone. And the Torah tells us, the anshei stone, ra'im v'chata'im l'ashem me'aud. Not just bad. They were terrible. Terrible. So I ask you the following question. The Lot story just about ends right there. But suddenly he awakens in chapter 14, when he's taken captive by one of the kings that are fighting one another. And Avram marshals a big army of 318 people, and according to Rashi, God intervenes to save Lot. Where does Rashi say that? Look at source number chet. Source number chet. The Torah tells us that when Avram had his circumcision, he was sick, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit him, right? But three people as well. Shlosha ma'anashim nitzavim alav. Rashi, as he does, always takes the Midrash route. Not people, but who were they? Angels. And each angel can only accomplish one objective. So one is to tell Sarai that she's going to have a child. The other one is to what? To destroy stone. The third one is to do what? Heal Abe, who had his bris at 99 years old. And the fourth one is supposed to save Lot. Says Rashi, what do you mean the fourth one? There are only three people here. Well, saving Lot and saving Avram is the same job. That's done by Raphael. He heals people. So when Lot is taken captive, Raphael is going to redeem him. So I ask you, Rabotai, a person who has abandoned God completely, Vayisa mikadmono shel olam, is suddenly deserving of God's saving him miraculously with an angel? And Avram putting his life in danger and the life of 318 people to save this Oved Avodah Zarah, who was not Makir Toy for what Avram had done for him, and now he lives with stone. So here I'm going to say something that I have no basis for, but I'm going to say it anyhow. Take a look at Halacha Tes. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam tells us that every single individual, kol echad ve'echad b'bnei Adam, yesh lo zichiyot ve'avonot. Everybody's got merits and demerits. Mish zichiyotav yeterot al avonotav, tzaddik. If you have more merits than demerits, you're a tzaddik. If you have more demerits, you're a rasha. But then the Rambam says in Halacha Bet, I bracketed the relevant lines, v'shikul zeh eino lefi minyan hazichiyot v'havonot ela lefi godlam. This is not a qualitative decision. Excuse me, quantitative. It's not a quantitative decision. If you had 501 mitzvot and 500 aveirot, you're a tzaddik. No, says the Rambam. You have 501 aveirot and 500 mitzvot, you're not a tzaddik. It depends, lefi godlam, the quality of your transgression and mitzvot. The problem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell us which ones he liked and which ones he didn't think were that important to him. He didn't. So you can do one aveira and that can override 500 mitzvot, because it's the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it gets on his nerves. He can't take it. And there's another one where a guy can be the biggest rasha in the world, but he does a mitzvah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers and likes. You're a tzaddik. A tzaddik. And we have trouble with tzaddik v'ralo and rasha v'ratovlo. We have trouble defining it. But the Rambam says, don't bother wasting your time because you're never going to figure it out. I humbly suggest to you that's exactly what happened with Lot. He hit the one mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, one of them that he really liked. And what is that? Hachnosas Orchem. Living in stone, with a penalty of Hachnosas Orchem was death. As the angels told Lot, take everybody out, and what are we going to do? V'nahar gein. And he refuses to do so. And the Torah tells us how he feeds them. And Rashi is always comments, since he decided to give them matzahs, must have been Pesach time. Pesach time. Wow. Lot is an idolater, abandons God's mitzvot, but he does Hachnasas Orchem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is prepared to send Rifael to save him. To save him. Rabotai, I subscribe to you, that is the opening of the Seder. We're in Golos. And you can't invite anybody now. It's a little too late. We're sitting down at the Seder. Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol is talking about after Yantif. We're going through a Seder in the Galut. Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, you can't say that anymore. But until the last 70 years, everybody could say, we're in Galut. You want to change things? I want you to learn from Lot. That what kind of rotten soul you are. If you're going to engage in Hachnasas Orchem, says the Paitan of this paragraph, I want you to make a promise. Kol Dichvin, whoever needs food, starting next week, starting tomorrow, Yesev Yechol. Whoever needs next year a Korban Pesach, this year it's too late, but next year I'm going to make an announcement. Anybody not a Manui, anybody not designated yet, you can join my group. What will be the net result if we focus on Hachnasat Orchem just the way Lot did? What will be the result? Hashata Hacha L'shana Haba Ba'arav Yisrael. Hashata Avdei L'shana Haba B'nei Chayim. Because there are times when one mitzvah can change the entire balance. And I believe the episode of Lot in chapter 14 of Sefer Bereshit as to why he is saved, the only merit that the Torah records about Lot is that he was Machnas Oreach. Don't forget, in Sefer Bereshit, where few details are provided by the Avot, as the Ramban tells us, we have to draw conclusions from the single events which the Torah does report. So Lot lives his entire life, and we know nothing about him. We know that he's an orphan. We know that he travels with Avram. We know that he gets rich. We know that he abandons God. And now miraculously he's saved and that's it. Put two and three together and you get four. Therefore, kol dichfin yeseh v'yechol, I start to say there, you want to change things for next year? Change your attitude to people who don't have what we have. And that will guarantee hashata hacha l'shana haba ba'arad Yisrael. We'll stop here.
Next week is Rabbi Gottlieb. We'll also be talking on Pesach at 8:30.